Well, good morning, Summit Church. My name is John Muller, and I get the privilege and joy of serving as your campus pastor here at the Capitol Hills campus. And we're going to be walking through and continuing our study in the book of Luke today. So if y'all will go ahead and turn there, scroll there, do whatever you got to do. We're in Luke chapter 23, verse 32 through 43. And as Cherie mentioned, today is Palm Sunday. It is the day that we read in scriptures that Jesus had a triumphal entry into Jerusalem, where they waved palm branches and sang Hosanna. And then in the church calendar, this begins what's known as the Holy Week. And so some of you were like, oh, I didn't know there was a church calendar. There is. You can Google that afterwards and find out all the fun things you can do throughout the year with the church. But this week begins Holy Week, and it ends with the empty tomb as Jesus is no longer there because he is alive. And before that, we see the crosses and deal with those three. And so this morning, we are going to talk about that. We are going to talk about Jesus on a cross. And no matter who you are, when you walked in here today, you have a view about Jesus. Therefore, you have a value about the cross. And so I want to talk with you today about your view of Jesus determines your value of the cross. That's my main point today. I want to go ahead and set that before you, because by the end of today, I want to elevate your view of Jesus and give you a high view of him. And I want to elevate your value of the cross and give you a high value of the cross. Now, if I drew a picture right here on this piece of paper, on my notes, and I turned it around, it would be a stick figure. I can't draw. And to be honest, I don't understand art. Art makes me mad, right? Like, my wife will stand in art galleries and museums for hours and stare at one painting. I'm there in a minute. I don't understand it. I feel like the artwork is making fun of me. And so then I get aggressive towards the art, and it upsets me and makes me angry. So then I move on to the next painting. And to be honest, if it's not a person, I don't understand why you would draw it. And so a lot of folks love impressionist landscapes. Good for you. If you're an artist here, praise God for you. I'm so thankful. I just don't understand you, right? And you could probably say the same thing about me. But if I drew a picture here and I turned it around and said, now, how much would y'all pay for a picture from John Muller? All of y'all would say resounding nothing, right? But you know who would pay for it? My mama, Roma Muller. She would give her last dime for it because I'm her special baby boy, right? And anything I do was going on the fridge. And so she would buy that with the last dime she's got in her bag. And so she has a high view of me, therefore she has a high value of artwork that I would draw. Another example is my wife and I, our first concert we went to was 2008 when Coldplay was cool. They're kind of not now. And so we went to see Coldplay at the amphitheater in Charlotte. Had a great time. I still have that ticket stub. Now, if I offered that to y'all and said, hey, here's a ticket stub to Coldplay from mine and Ashley's first date, how much would you pay for this? None. Y'all wouldn't pay for it because y'all don't hold a high view of my dating life or my wife. It is invaluable to me, though. I hold on to that because that was an incredible night. My wife's an incredible woman. And so I've still got that in my truck. Some more examples are Whitney Houston, who I believe is the voice of a generation, who is incredible, and everyone remembers where they were when she first sang, I Will Always Love You. Everybody does. It stops your life. And so her Bible was sold at auction for $95,000. $95,000. Now, I wouldn't pay that for Whitney. Not that I don't love her. I think she's great. I've just got a Bible of my own, right? But now, one of our staff members, Antonisha Sanders, the other day when we were talking about this, said, John, can I borrow $95,000, right? She would, because Whitney to her is life. Her view of Whitney is high. Therefore, her value of Whitney's Bible is high. The next is a pair of Air Jordan 1s for you sneakerheads here. Jordan 1s, worn by Jordan, signed by Jordan. They went for $560,000. Somebody paid $500,000 for a used pair of shoes because they believe Michael Jordan is the greatest athlete and greatest basketball player of all time, so they value his shoes. The next is a Darth Vader helmet worn in Empire Strikes Back. I'm a Mandalorian fan. I have not begun to explore the Star Wars universe. Some of y'all have. This was sold for $898,000 at auction. Somebody paid almost $1 million for this because they have such a high view of Star Wars. Now, our last one is our lead pastor here, Pastor JD. And I'm gonna be honest, I looked way too long than I care to admit for a bad picture of him online. Like, I tried. I Google image search for forever. This is as bad as I could find, which is one of the most annoying things about him is that he does not take a bad picture, right? It's so annoying. Now, in this, I'm gonna be honest, when I looked at this picture first, it took something from me that I can't get back. Like, his eyes are just swimming in my soul. And he might be doing that to y'all right now. The reason I have him up here is because, did y'all know his first Easter sermon transcript was actually sold at auction? It was actually sold. Nuts, right? Sold for $2. $2. $2. And the crazy part is somebody outbid his mama, you know? Like, that was wild, right? And so your view of someone places your value on them, right? And so your view determines your value. Each and every one of you, when you came in here today, if you were a follower of Jesus Christ for 60 years, or maybe this is your first time, or maybe you're investigating what the church is about and who Jesus is, and you just turned in off the road because you saw the signs, every one of us has a view about Jesus Christ. Every one of us has a view about him, and because we have a view about him, we also have a value on his cross. And so my main point today is your value, your view of Jesus determines your value of the cross. Your view of Jesus determines your value of the cross. We're going to read this passage and then we're going to talk about three views. So let's begin in Luke 23, verse 32. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. Now, I know y'all don't like pastors to stop after reading one verse, but I just have to here. Look at what God is doing. Look at what God is doing. Now, the word criminal here, don't think that it's just a thief. I know some of your translations say thief. This is not a guy that just stole a pack of juicy fruit from Sheetz, all right? Like, this is a bad dude. This is a bad man, and he's getting the consequences for his actions. But what I love is what God does. At the culmination of his story that he began in Genesis, the culmination and things that prophets prophesied about and the church was waiting on and followers of Christ were waiting on, at the culmination of God's work in mankind to save mankind, he involves two criminals. He involves two criminals. He doesn't solely focus on Jesus Christ, but he widens the view to bring sinners in with him because that's why Jesus died. And that's just like us. I want you to feel comforted there that Jesus Christ includes you in his story because his story is our story. Verse 33. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Don't get wrapped up in the skull. Some of your translations say Calvary, some Gotha, they all mean the same thing, just in different languages. This is where Jesus died. Verse 34, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments, and the people stood by watching. But the ruler scoffed at him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, this is the king of the Jews. I want to focus in on verse 34 because it has a very important statement there that I want us to talk about. It says, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them. Now, imagine if I came up to you and I said, hey, I forgive you. I forgive you. Just want you to know that I forgive you. What would you say? You would say, why? What have I done? Or you would think it's a case of mistaken identity, and you would quote Dwight Schrute and say, identity theft is not a joke, John. Millions suffer every year. And so you would want to know, why are you forgiving me? What have I done? What have I done that needs forgiveness? And this would kind of catch you off guard because you would begin to think, I must have done something if John is offering forgiveness to me. See, what we see here is that they are unaware. That's why Jesus prays in verse 34, for they know not what they do. They're unaware, and they're unaware of their sin. Their sin is the reason Jesus is on the cross, and they can't see it. Our first view today is the unaware view. The unaware view. Now, to those of you that are here, If me telling you that you have sinned shocks you, you have the unaware view. This is the first time in your life that you have heard you are a sinner and you have sinned, then you have the unaware view, and that's okay. I'm glad you're here. I wouldn't want you to be anywhere else because I want to talk to you. See, the unaware view is like this. Imagine if I said, hey, you've got bed bugs in your bed. Just want you to know that you've got bed bugs. What would your response be? No, I don't. No, you've got bed bugs. I promise you, you have bed bugs. What would you do? You would go and check them out. You would go and look into them. And so in this illustration, I want to use your mattress that you have bed bugs as your life. And bed bugs represent sin, all right? Now, this is, if I just told you you have bed bugs, what are you going to do? You're going to go investigate your mattress. You're going to go look. You're going to ask, why would John tell me that? I need to go look into that. And so you look at your mattress and you think, well, my mattress is a great mattress. My mattress is actually the mattress I've wanted since I was a kid. I had a poster of this mattress up in my bedroom. I dressed up as this mattress as a kid for Halloween. This mattress has its own TikTok and on Snapchat. Like, it does its thing. People come from miles around to see my mattress. Like, my mattress is a good thing. It's what I've worked my whole life for. I went to school for this. People have paid good money for this. People want this, but they can't get this. And I say, yeah, I know, but your mattress has bed bugs. The same thing with your life. You're living your life right now, and you were unaware that you have sinned. And so what you would do with bed bugs is you would go check that out. That's what I'm asking you to do with me today. If you have the unaware view, then I'm asking you to, in fact, one of my favorite authors is Walt Whitman, and one of his favorite quotes is, be curious, not judgmental. What I want you to do right now is that. I want you to be curious. I want you to treat your life right now like you would treat a mattress with bed bugs. I want you to begin to examine your life. I want you to begin to look into that. Because if I tell you that you have bed bugs, you would go look. If I tell you you have sin, then you should go look. See, sin is a direct offense against God. Sin is something that we cannot escape from, and sin is something that we will die from. And so sin has now destroyed us because sin is an offense against God. Sin is an offense against God in that we disobey his commands. Think about your life here. You have sinned. Meaning you have lied, you have stolen, maybe you've cheated, maybe you've tried this tax season to not pay the government what you were supposed to. Maybe you have done even greater things and you have wronged someone, you have hurt someone. Maybe you have gotten angry. All of those things are sin. In fact, Romans 3:20 says that, let me see, Romans 3:20 should be on the screen. It's not. There it is. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. So let me read that one more time. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. That means that through understanding the law of God, we understanding that we fall short of that law. And we all do this. We all do this. Even if you are have the unaware view, you know that you have a moral law in your life. You have a moral law in your mind for good things that you want to do, bad things that you want to do. But if you're honest with yourself, you don't even meet your own moral law. You don't even actually meet the good and the bad that you set up. And it's kind of like this. If you just had one bed bug in your mattress, would you sleep in that bed? No, you would not. Just like one sin taints your whole life, one bed bug taints the whole mattress. And so one sin causes us to become sinners. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. If we reword that, a wage means something we earn. So what we earn from sin is death. The end of that verse is, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so what we earn from sin, from breaking God's law, is death. Every one of us in here are sinners before God. The beautiful part of that is that's why Jesus is going to the cross. The scary part about that is they don't see it. They don't see it. If you don't see your sin, then you don't see your need of a Savior. And I want today to change your unaware view to become aware. I want today for you to see the cross is not some abstract thing, but it is the way that God provided salvation for you. See, God demands perfection. So if you have a moral law in your mind of good and bad that you want to do, God doesn't want good. God wants perfection. God demands perfection because God is holy. And therefore, we are called to be holy. And so when sin comes into our life because we disobey God's commands, we then set ourselves up as enemies of God. We chose against God. God didn't choose against us. We chose a route besides him. And so our sin now is in our life, and we've got to deal with that. I want you to be curious about that. If that's the first time you've ever thought about your sin, if that's the first time you've ever heard that you might be a sinner, then I want you to be curious and not judgmental. I want you to begin to ask yourself, do I see that in my life? Here are some characteristics of some folks with the unaware view. You're unfulfilled. The more you have, the more you want. Contentment is your enemy, and peace escapes you. You're unsatisfied. There's nothing that's really good enough. Scary part is, on the outside, you look good. You've got things that you've always wanted. You've got degrees. You've got a job. You've got a family. It's like your mattress. It looks good. It's great, but it's riddled with bed bugs, just like your life has sin. You need a change, and that change is salvation in Jesus Christ. If you have the unaware view, what I want you to do is lean in. I want you to get a free Bible from us. We have those at our Next Steps area in the lobby. I want you to begin to read the book of John with somebody that you came with or somebody on staff here. I want you to investigate. I want you to treat sin the same way you would treat bed bugs. Go look. Go examine your life. Examine your life. Line it up against the Bible and see the claims of Christ. Because when you do that, your view will move from unaware to aware, and hopefully your view will move to a Savior view of Jesus Christ. The cross will no longer hold no value to you, but you will see that what Jesus did on the cross was for you. That's why Jesus says here, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. They're not asking for forgiveness, but look at your Savior saying, forgive them. Jesus is saying the same thing to you here today. You don't see it, but I do, and I forgive you. I forgive you and I love you. I know you completely and love you completely, and I died for you. The beautiful part about that is Jesus offers himself freely to us. The second view we see, we're going to find in verse 39. One of the criminals who were hanged and railed at him, saying, are you not Christ? Save yourself and us. Now, we're going to call this criminal C1 because I have a stutter and I can't say criminal 10 times without falling over it, all right? So we're just going to say C1 and make things real easy here for all of us. What C1 wants is a change of situation, not salvation. What he sees is that I'll believe your God if you can get me down from here. I'll believe your God. I'll believe your Jesus, the Christ. I'll believe that if you can change my current situation. I'll follow you if you can do that. See, the scary thing is he sees he needs to be saved. He just doesn't see what he needs to be saved from. His situation is an indicator of his heart position. There is no value in the cross to him because it's a situation that he needs to get out of. Now, the reason I call this the jumper cable view is because I had a friend in college, and we all had this friend. Maybe some of you were this friend. I had this friend in college that he was either broke or a genius, right? What he would do is he would drive around on a battery that was like 25% and would not get it changed. His reason was because he meets great people and always wants to do something for the story, right? So he would carry around jumper cables in his trunk. Anytime he had to leave the house, one of us had to jump him off because we're not going to give him our car, right? Anytime he went to the grocery store, somebody at the grocery store had to bring him back or had to jump him off. Anytime he went to the beach, downtown Charleston, to church, to the gas station, anywhere, anytime he went anywhere and shut off his car, somebody had to jump his car off. Now, he actually, I don't I'm not going to say he did or didn't meet his wife through this, right? So maybe he's an idiot. Maybe he's a genius. I don't know. Some of y'all are going to start trying that now, even with good batteries. You boys are just going to fill up sheets. Don't, all right? I need gas. But in this jumper cable view, we see that all we want is a change of situation. We treat God that same way. God, I'll trust you if you'll change the situation that I'm in. God, I'll be with you if you'll move me from here. God, if you'll do something. In fact, if you have a jumper cable view, then you've actually prayed prayers like this. God, give me a better job. God, give me a better house. God, give me a different spouse. God, give me a child. God, give me a bigger bank account or financial security. God, give me comfort and ease. The praise of even your friends and your coworkers rules you. The approval of parents or your boss. You just want a relationship. Maybe you just want somewhere to go on the weekends. You want a change in situation. Some of us in here actually want a change in health. God, if you're God, I wouldn't have cancer. God, if you're God, my spouse wouldn't have left me. God, if you're God, my dad wouldn't have died. God, if you're God, I would have use of all my limbs. God, if you're God, I would have this. And so we want God to change our situation, to move us from where we currently are. But see, life was not meant to be found in any of those things. Jesus says in John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 10:10, Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus is saying, I came to earth, lived the perfect life that you were supposed to live, because perfection is what God demands, not just being good. Lived that and then died the death, which is what he's doing right here in this passage, for your sin. That's the path to life. I am the way, the truth, and the life, not a change of situation. I am the way, the truth, and the life, not here to fix your earthly problems. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. See, the problem with the jumper cable view is you're looking for the right things, you're just looking for it in the wrong place. You're looking for God, you're just trying to fill him, you're just trying to fill his God-shaped hole in your heart with different things in your life. This group looks like this. You pour into church or small group when things are hard. When things aren't great at work, aren't great at home, maybe you just lost your job, maybe your boyfriend or girlfriend just broke up with you, you were discontented with life, or you aren't where you thought you would be. You're frustrated a lot, a lot. You're frustrated a lot because God isn't giving you what you want. As long as you have what you want, God is good and can be trusted. But if you don't have what you want, you begin to ask God, where are you? And God is not good and God can't be trusted. Had a friend of mine going through some things, and they said to me, I just wake up every day trying to find something to be joyful in. And I said to him, I said, man, nothing in this world can bring us joy. We were not meant for something. We were meant for someone. Our joy is meant to be found in someone. Things in this world will not satisfy us. Jesus came that we may have life and have it abundantly. And this group, I see you. I know you're tired, because you're running from thing to thing, from person to person. You're exhausted. I want you to look at where Jesus is with C1. He's right there. He's right there offering you forgiveness. And this morning, if you have a jumper cable view of Jesus, Jesus is right here offering you forgiveness. He knows what you've done. He knows if you woke up in a bed with someone that's not your spouse, in a bed that's not yours. He knows what you did last week. He knows what you've looked at on the internet. He knows what you've put on your taxes. He knows where you've stabbed someone in the back at work. He knows. He knows all the things that you have done in your life. That's why he's on the cross. That's why he's on the cross. He is on the cross to pay for the penalty of your sin. He's not asking you to clean yourself up before you come to him. He came to you because you can't clean yourself up. And Jesus right here, like to the unaware group, he is saying, Father, forgive them. Jesus is offering his forgiveness. And your view of Jesus needs to move from a jumper cable view to a savior view. Because if you trust God with your salvation, then you can trust him with your situation. If you trust God with your salvation, then you can trust him with your situation. Do you view Jesus Christ as jumper cables? If so, stop driving that car. Stop, get a new car. Surrender your life to Jesus Christ today and move your view from a jumper cable view to our last view, which is a savior view. A savior view. And man, this view is good. Oh, this view is good. Verse 40. But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now we're going to call criminal number two C2 for obvious reasons. We've already discussed that. C2 gets it. He gets it. Look at him call out the other criminal. Look at him say, "Do you not fear God?" To invoke the name of God means that he knows Jesus is God's son. Look at his confession. He says, "We indeed justly." What he's saying there is, I am guilty. I am paying the price for my guilt. But Jesus, you are innocent. You are innocent. C2 doesn't have a seminary degree. In fact, I love this, that the other gospels, Mark, Matthew, and John, actually record this. And they actually say that C2 was railing Jesus with everyone else at one point. Was mocking him with everyone else. But what happened in C2's life is that he changed views. He changed views. He saw Jesus mock and he heard Jesus say, "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them." He saw Jesus was mocked and he heard him say, "Father, forgive them. Forgive them." He saw Jesus' response. He saw his life and he wanted to be with him. I love that he says, "Remember me when you enter into your kingdom." That shows that he knew Jesus was a king. It shows that he knew he had a kingdom that was not of this world. And it showed that he wanted a relationship with him. If you were in the first two views, you can have that relationship right now. If you're in the unaware view or the jumper cable view, there is no better place for you to be than where you are right now, because God is offering forgiveness for your sins through his son, Jesus Christ. Your debt has been paid. Your sin has been dealt with. That's why Jesus died. Jesus said, "I know you completely and love you completely." You don't have to clean yourself up before you come to God. Look at C2. He did it. There wasn't even enough time to. His sin put him on the cross, which is where you and I belong. And what Jesus said is, "I'm going to take the cross for you and give you my life." Oh, church, doesn't that free us up? Doesn't that free you up? Isn't that good news? That your sin is not counted against you. That what you came in here with today, you don't have to leave with. That the sin that is in your life has been paid for on the cross of Jesus Christ. That the cross is life to you because it was death to Jesus Christ. The cross is forgiveness to you because your debt has been paid by Jesus Christ. No matter what you have done, no matter what you have wanted to do, Jesus has paid that price for you. And C2 sees that. He sees that and he knows that. One of my favorite authors is a British theologian named John Stott. And he wrote a book called The Cross of Christ. And I just want to read to y'all a quote out of there this morning. "To say that somebody is not responsible for his actions is to demean him or her as a human being. It is part of the glory of being human that we are held responsible for our actions. Then, when we also acknowledge our sin and guilt, we receive God's forgiveness, enter into the joy of salvation, and so become yet more completely human and healthy. What is unhealthy is every wallowing in guilt which does not lead to confession, repentance, faith in Jesus Christ, and so forgiveness." The cross of Jesus Christ deals with guilt because all the guilt that we have from our sin was put on him as our Savior. So that's why Romans 8:1 is so sweet. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This throws out the window that we can do anything for our salvation, because look at what criminal 2 did. Nothing. In fact, to just mock Jesus moments earlier, and with one of Jesus' dying breaths, he forgives him and tells him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And I love the phrase "with me," because that is the key prepositional phrase here. Today you will be with me. And it means a lot. Ephesians 2:6 says that God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him, which is past tense, in the future heavenly realms. Shouldn't that actually be future tense, that he will do it? But no, Paul writes to the Ephesians that God has seated us with him. That means that if you have a Savior view of Jesus Christ, that when God looks at you, he sees his Son, Jesus Christ. He does not see your sin. He does not see your guilt. He does not see your shame, because he put all that on his Son. And so when he looks at you, he sees his Son, Jesus Christ. You were known completely and loved completely. John 3:16, we all know it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will call on his name shall not perish but have eternal life." That was God's plan. Jesus is our Savior. And the value of the cross is that it's the means that God used to save us. There's nothing we could do to earn that. There's nothing we could do to clean ourselves up. If you think, "I've got to get right, I've got to be better, I've got to do good," there's not enough good you can do. That's why Jesus came and died for you. And he offers that salvation as a free gift to you. See, I want you to move from the unaware view, because I want you to see your need for a Savior. I want you to see how great that need is, and I want you to see how much greater your Savior is. I want you to move from the jumper cable view, because that view just uses God, and God is not to be used. God is to be praised. God came to give you everything you're seeking in this world, but it's found in Jesus Christ abundantly. And the cross is the way to that. And for those that have the Savior view of Jesus Christ, I know some of you are like, "John, I believe God, I trust God, but it's hard." Yes, I know. Trusting God's the hardest thing I've ever done. Hardest thing I've ever done, because it puts him on the throne and me on the cross. Trusting God is hard. And in fact, look at what happened to criminal number two after Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Did Jesus take him off the cross? Did he restore his life here on earth? No, he said, "Today you'll be with me." And he still died a painful death. He still went through the excruciating asphyxiation of the cross. The cross literally choked the life out of him. But because his view had changed, he said, "Jesus, I'll take the cross if I can have you. Jesus, I'll take the cross if I can have you." And church family, I know you're walking through hard things. I know you're going through hard things. Look at what criminal number two went through, and look where Jesus was, right there with him. So you can walk through pain because Jesus has taken our greatest pain. You can walk through hardship because Jesus has went through the hardest thing in the world for you. You can walk through whatever this life can throw at you because God has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you in your place. This morning, there are people here with different views. And I want to give you an opportunity right now to change your view. I want you to see that our view of Jesus should be as a Savior, and our value of the cross should be a means of salvation. My favorite hymn, I don't know why, I didn't become a Christian until I was 21, is "The Old Rugged Cross." On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. Oh, how I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. I want you to cherish the cross today. I want you to be able to sing, "How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous is my Savior's love for me, that he took my sin and my sorrow. He made it his very own. He bore my burdens to Calvary and suffered and died alone." Jesus died alone, so you don't have to. Look, I want everybody to bow your heads right now. There are people right here, right now, that need to be saved. You need to be saved. You came in here with an unaware view. And today, for the first moment, or I just reminded you that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. I want you to be saved. I want you to be saved right now. I want you to move from an unaware view to a savior view. I want you to move from a jumper cable view of using God to a surrender to God. If you're in those two views, I want you to pray this prayer. If you want to surrender your life to Jesus Christ with me right now, Father, forgive me. Father, I am a sinner. I confess that you are Lord, and I ask that you will take my life. Give me yours. I surrender my life to you. Forgive me of my sins. Save me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you just prayed that prayer with me, or you want to talk more about that, then I want you to text READY to the number 33933. I get those texts. I get them. I want to talk to you. My staff wants to talk to you. If you're ready to surrender your life to Jesus Christ this morning, if you just prayed that prayer, I want you to text READY to 33933. I want to talk to you as soon as I can, because I want your view to change to Savior and church for the rest of us, because we have trusted Jesus with our salvation. We can trust him with our situation. Because Jesus saved us, we can trust him through whatever is going on in our life. And how free and how beautiful and how marvelous is the love of God that we have, that we share. Cherie led us in a prayer earlier about people that we want to invite back with us. We're going to be handing out inviter cards at the door. I want you to bring people in your life that you know have the first two views of God, because we want them to have a savior view of Jesus Christ. How you view Jesus determines your value of the cross. I want Mike to come lead us now in a hymn. I want us to lead, and I want us to sing about how marvelous, how wonderful is the Savior's love that God sent his son Jesus to the cross so that he can make you his own. Let's stand, church, and let's worship God for his work through Jesus Christ together right now.